The state budget signed last week boosts special education funding, but some educators say it falls short by not increasing general school aid. It's Thursday, July 10th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a Republican business owner has announced a run for Wisconsin governor, and a Wisconsin Elections Commission report is sharply critical of a former Madison City clerk. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
A budget compromise reached last week by Governor Tony Evers and Republicans delivers more funds for special education. But as Corrine Hess reports, school leaders say not increasing general school aid will shift more costs to local taxpayers.
The new state budget increases the special education reimbursement rate from 32% to 42% in the first year and 45% in the second year. But educators also hope to see an increase in general school aid. Green Bay Superintendent Vicki Byer says the increase in special education money amounts to about $3 million a year for her district. They spend about $35 million on special education students.
The compromise, they're working together. This is the best deal they could get. We're grateful that there was an increase. Just wish it did more to support public schools.
Evers says schools asked for an increase in the special education rate and the budget delivered it. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The owner of a New Berlin-based manufacturing company has launched a campaign for Wisconsin governor. Bill Berrien is running as a Republican and identifying closely with President Donald Trump. In a new campaign ad, he highlights his record as a Navy SEAL and his experience in the private sector.
I'm an outsider and a businessman, just like President Trump. And I'll shake up Madison like he's shaking up D.C.
Berrien also criticized Governor Tony Evers, especially on his policies around transgender issues. Evers has not yet said whether he'll run for a third term. The Democratic Party of Wisconsin said Berrien is, quote, rich enough to buy himself some attention and clueless enough to think that it's going to work, end quote. Berrien is the second Republican candidate to enter the race, joining Washington County Executive Josh Shoman. A scathing report by the Wisconsin Elections Commission found that a former Madison City clerk violated the law in ways that led to 200 ballots going uncounted in November. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, the commission lays out what it describes as a, quote, profound failure in that office.
The investigation described a series of errors by former clerk Mary Beth Witzel-Bale that resulted in 193 ballots going uncounted. It said she showed an astonishing lack of urgency in reporting the mistake, including by going on vacation shortly after the election ended. The report says Witzel-Bale and her office treated the missing ballots as, quote, unimportant rather than as the essential part of our democracy they represent. The commission also lays out a series of changes the city must make to its election administration procedures. Witzel-Bale resigned as Madison City Clerk in April. In a statement, Madison City Attorney Michael Haas said the city had cooperated with the investigation and is reviewing the report with an eye toward the future. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A former police chief from Walworth County allegedly used his position to try and help an ammunition dealer illegally import hundreds of thousands of armor-piercing bullets into the United States. A federal plea agreement with a California ammunition dealer outlined the scheme. The dealer was accused of trying to import the rounds and illegally sell them in 2021. That type of ammunition can only be imported for military or police use. According to the plea documents, former Town of Lynn Police Chief James Bushy and the California dealer were introduced through a middleman. Bushy signed off for the purchase of the rounds on an ATF application. The plea states he had no intention to use the ammunition for the police department. In exchange, the dealer agreed to give the police department money for squad cars and other supplies. Bushy has not been charged with the crime and could not be reached for comment yesterday. A statement from the town of Lynn officials said that they have cooperated with authorities during the investigation. Coming up, why one of the world's oldest sources of power can be a, quote, bureaucratic nightmare. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, hydropower is one of the oldest sources of energy. It dates back to at least 2,000 years, when water mills would crush grains and break ore. Today, hydropower accounts for nearly one-third of renewable energy in the U.S. But as Harvest Public Media's Teresa Homey reports, federal hurdles may prevent older hydroelectric plants from staying online and new projects from even getting off the ground.
Inside the Sioux Hydroelectric Plant in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, 74 turbines are spinning and generating power for thousands of homes in the region. This narrow plant is a quarter mile long, and its red sandstone bricks harken back to the Gilded Age, when the plant first opened in 1902.
And it's been running pretty much 24/7, 365 since then.
Roger Line is with the Cloverlands Electric Cooperative, the utility company that owns the plant today. He says Cloverlands considered shutting the facility down.
If you were to buy the same amount of energy out on the market today, you could probably get it a little cheaper.
Ultimately, Cloverland kept the plant open. It's not expensive to run and still generates a reliable flow of energy. But this back and forth isn't uncommon. A 2022 survey conducted by an engineering consulting firm found that about 36% of hydro operators in the U.S. were actively thinking about decommissioning their facilities. Unlike wind or solar projects, hydro facilities require a federal license that must be renewed every 30 to 50 years. And plants often have to deal with dozens of federal, state, and local agencies. It can be a bureaucratic nightmare, according to Malcolm Wolf from the National Hydropower Association.
It takes, on average, almost 8 years to get an existing hydropower facility relicensed.
40% of the nation's fleet that's not federally owned is facing license expirations in the next decade. The process, Wolf says, should be streamlined. He says there also needs to be a way for agencies to settle disputes when they impose contradictory requirements.
Part of what makes the hydropower licensing so maddening is that there's no agency in control. If one of the dozens of agencies misses its statutory obligations, there's nothing anyone else can do about it but wait.
Right now, hydro provides 6% of the nation's electricity generation. Caitlin Grady is a civil engineer with the George Washington University. She says hydroelectric is important, especially if we want to cut down on emissions.
Without major changes in nuclear or hydro, we will not have a sustainable grid with just solar and wind, unless we're also building a ton of batteries. And I mean tons and tons and tons of batteries.
Instead, Grady says grid reliability and energy output could be expanded by adding turbines to existing dams and investing in modern pumped storage technology that uses water and gravity as a battery. But century-old hydroelectric plants are still churning out power. At the Keokuk Renewable Center, which sits on the Mississippi River, bordering Iowa and Illinois, operators say it's been business as usual since 1913. Brad Todd with Ameren says there's no plan to decommission Keokuk, which supplies electricity to 75,000 homes a year.
It's great for the customers, it's safe, it's efficient, and Ameren plans on keeping ours around basically forever if we can.
The plant has new turbines that are more energy efficient, because even as technology changes, the basic idea remains. Water keeps on moving. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Teresa Holmesey.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including WPR. And of course, quick check of your forecast before letting you go for the day. We'll see a mix of sunshine and clouds across the state this morning. Some rain moving into western Wisconsin later on this morning. Slight chance of rain elsewhere during the day today. Otherwise, a mix of sunshine and clouds with highs in the 70s and 80s. It's likely that we'll see some thunderstorms in the south overnight, with heaviest rain in southwestern Wisconsin. The rest of the day, a little muggy tonight, with lows down into the 60s. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were John Davis, Courtney Everett, and Bridget Bowden. As always, have a fantastic rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.